Thank you so much. Blessing being reminded of God's unfailing love, isn't it? How kind God is to us and how that love continues to be there in all sorts of circumstances and continues again and again and again to come back to us. Praise God for that unfailing love. In the presence of His glory, for those of you who weren't able to be with us last night, and I want to thank the each of you who took the time to come to the presence last night. Sean opened up sharing a little bit about the sanctuary system and dealing with coming into God's presence. This morning we want to again talk about coming into God's presence, but a little different way. In the presence of His glory, it's the good news about the judgment. The presence of His glory, the good news about His judgment. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for You to be with us, that it would be present not only in a philosophical way or in comprehension, but present with Your person, to touch our hearts and our lives and convict us of the things about the judgment that'll help us to be prepared. This we ask in the precious name of Christ. Amen. There are some things that just shouldn't be talked about. If you know what I mean, the commercials come on and you just feel a little uncomfortable, right? There are some things that just seem like they should be in a different realm than public openness and display. There are just some things that you just want to keep back in the background, don't want to bring to the front. Smiling Bill, though, tells me that sometimes what happens is you can take a new perspective on an old thing and come up with something that people listen to. Sometimes there are things that we want to just say they shouldn't be talked about and good. They shouldn't be explored in company, like me being present. I had to smile. The Young at Heart took a field trip. The Young at Heart, praise the Lord for the Young at Heart. For those of you who don't know, the Young at Heart is our senior group. And I thought at least the seniors would be saying amen, right? Young at Heart is a very active group, and we want to praise the Lord for their activity. And they take multiple field trips, all kinds of places. But I had to smile because the last field trip they took was to the cemetery. There seems something sort of ironic about that. I put together their trips and said, you know, it's kind of, there's this kind of progression. First they went in and heard about life insurance. Then they went to the retirement center. Then they took a trip and went to the hospital. Went to the nursing home. Now to the cemetery. I'm not sure if I want to be with them on their next trip. I'd like to skip one or two and then come to their trip with them. Some things it seems like just aren't the right thing to talk about, and yet I admire them for addressing issues that seniors deal with, don't you? And there are some issues that maybe we need to deal with and address. Maybe what we do is just need a little new perspective on them to help us to look at them in a new way. And I think the judgment is one of those things. Quite honestly, many have a fear of the judgment, a fear of what they face when they're looking at the judgment. That's often been bred into them in Adventism, a sort of a perspective of what's going to take place at the end. And we have to realize that many people are facing a struggle, and the judgment is something that's real about life and death. Platte Canyon High, Bailey, Colorado, we recognize that those things can change in a moment, can't they? If you don't recognize it, look at your newspaper. Look at the circumstances and what takes place in a moment of time. Judgment. Judgment is sort of like looking at a real-life horror picture. Part of why we're afraid of judgment is because we're afraid we know what it's going to tell us. When we look at it, we say, we have one picture and it's not a good one. When we start looking at the judgment and thinking about what it's about, you know, the horror movies never bother me like Godzilla. Or, you know, some monkey on the top of a building or even some aliens coming down. It doesn't really bother me. The horror movies that bother me are the ones where the child ends up missing. Or somebody's abused in a family. Those are real life horror movies.
that set my heart in pain. Maybe we need to step back and look at really what the judgment scene is. And for some of us, the reason we've been scared of the judgment is because we see it as a real life horror movie just ahead of us, and we're just waiting. I have good news. The judgment is good news. The judgment is good news. Whatever you've heard before about the judgment, I want you to take a new perspective. The judgment is good news. Let me share with you why. It's good news, one, because it's a divine arraignment for us. A divine arraignment for us. Judgment, there are several acts in judgment. There's the arraignment. If you would, we call that the investigative judgment. There's the arraignment, the investigative judgment. That's the part in our court system where someone's called in and the judge looks to see whether there's enough evidence to send them to a trial. Under that arraignment, the charges against them are decided to either pursue or excuse. The investigative judgment's an arraignment that takes place for God's people. Then the trial and sentencing takes place in the judgment, the appeal process, and then finally the execution of the sentence. Sometimes we lump it all together and call it the judgment. The issue is that each of the steps is for different people. And there's good news in each of the steps for us. We just have to step back and look at it from maybe a little different perspective. It's good news for us because the judgment is for us. It validates our standing as heirs. It validates our standing as heirs. The question is, who are the sons and daughters of God? I want God to find me as one of his sons. Don't you? I want to have him validate me. I'm looking forward to that taking place. In Daniel 7:22, it says, until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High. At that time came when they possessed the kingdom. I want to move to possess the kingdom. The only way that can happen is if I'm validated as one of his sons, and you as a son or daughter. It's good news to us because it's God's way of legally giving us a right to the kingdom. It's God's way to move us forward so we can transfer the title of all that he's given to us into our name. It's God's way of willing to us all that he's bought for us. It's a legal ceremony in which God validates us. It's like a wedding ceremony. I don't know about you, but I've gone through a lot of ceremonies, and wedding ceremonies, there's a little phrase that's sometimes included. It's right before you go through the vows with them. It's, if anyone here can show just cause why this man or woman should not be married, let him speak now, or... What a horrible thing to have somebody say, Pastor, I have just a couple things I'd like to say. Be a scary thing, wouldn't it? But you know what? What takes place in the judgment setting is just that. God has declared that he wants to join his bride. And Satan stands up and says, wait. The one you're about to marry, I have inside evidence that shows they don't have a right to marry. They've been unfaithful. That's what we're afraid of. But the good news is that God says, it's all right. They've already told me everything. And my blood has covered it. And I'm rejoicing to take them as my bride. And you know what? Then there's peace. Because they will no longer be able to bring up anything that will separate us from God. Isn't it true? From now on, Satan has to hold his peace because God says, I already know. I already know, and I still accept them as mine. I already know. Now let me tell you the rest of the story. I've covered the price. That's good news. The judgment's the place at which God declares, I know everything about them, and I accept them. I've asked them to be my bride, knowing everything, having understood where they've been, recognizing the mistakes they've made in their life and the rebellion in their life, and still I want them as mine. It's an adoption ceremony. It's the legal right in which God says, I've chosen them as mine. I've invited them to come. And now they're accepting the invitation. I want to declare them as my son or daughter. Isn't that good news to the orphan child who's been looking for somebody to care about him all their life? Isn't it good news? The Day of Atonement is the judgment scene that's carried out in the sanctuary. It's the way in which God takes the sinner and brings him into his presence. And the Day of Atonement is showing how God does that on a forever basis. How God clears the path so that everything that's separated is gone, so that God can now be with his people. The judgment scene was an incredibly serious scene. But do you know, when it's finished, all God's people rejoice and have a party. Because it's the time in which they have been declared his, and the record taken care of, the sin of the past erased, and they're at one with God. It's a beautiful scene. It is the picture of one who's our advocate, who's gone with bearing the testimony that these are his and signing a document that says that we're his children. It's a day in which he's declared us to be his. The number one reason why I think the judgment is good news is that it's a judgment for us. It validates our right to the kingdom. Number two, we've been accused and our names have been cleared. The accusations come up strong. And I heard the loud voice saying in heaven, now has come the salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The accuser's raised up. He said that he has a charge against us. He's the jilted boyfriend who's come to raise the argument. When Shelley and I were going together, we were introduced by her former roommate, who I had also gone with and dated. And it was a hardship in her because they were good friends. And after a short time, after Shelley and I started dating, her girlfriend came and shared, do you know what? The man that you're dating, he had boils when he was a baby. You know what that means? If you have kids with him, you're going to have boils. Your kids will. Along with a list of other things that I choose not to go into, of reasons why she shouldn't get together with me. Charges against me. Shelley could say, I already know. Sometimes in jealousy, Satan's out there. By the way, it's not because Satan wants us. It's because Satan doesn't want God to have us. It's because Satan has broken his relationship with God. And now he's at a place that he's trying to get back at God. Some of you have experienced that kind of vengeance in relationships, haven't you? And now what's happened is Satan's targeting us. And God just stands up and says, their name has been cleared. I've heard the charges against them, and I've covered them. Man, falsely accused. As I watch the people's court, I like the sense of justice, by the way. In my own mind, as they come and they share back and forth, I like to think, now, what would be the answer? What would be the just thing? And I sort through, what would be the just answer? People's court, the man came, and his issue was that there'd been a car accident, And he had now been accused. And the reason was because the woman wrote down the wrong license plate. And the whole thing was he had all of these bills that had been put against him, this charge that had been put against him. And he was in a different city when it took place and had bills to show where he had been. The motel bill, the gas bills on the way back. Praise the Lord, somebody keeps records, huh? And praise the Lord for you, somebody keeps records. There's been an accusation made against you. Unfortunately, a lot of them aren't false accusations. A lot of them are true. But God wants us to know the rest of the story, that he's also covered all the bills that we owe. It's for us, not only in that it validates our standing with God, or that it clears our name, it reveals God's loyalty to us. It's for us in that it reveals God's loyalty to us. My little children, these things I write unto you, that your sin, that you sin not. And if any do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I step back and say, sometimes I miss God's position. Jesus is the judge. Isn't it true? And that's good news. I'd want somebody there as the judge. But we misunderstand what that is in our system, because the judge isn't the same in our system as theirs. The judge and the defense attorney were the same person. In the Hebrew system, the one who was defending you was the judge. The judge's responsibility was to be there to defend you against the crime. The judge was on your side. We're told that we have an advocate. He's a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but for the whole world's. A high priest who stands up. And what the high priest is doing is the high priest is the intercessor, the advocate on our behalf. His job is to bring back together two warring parties, two parties at odds, two parties that are separated, to be our intercessor. That's the high priest's role. Christ is not only the judge, our defense attorney. He's the high priest whose job is to intercede, to build a bridge between us and God himself. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his blood he might destroy him who holds the power over death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Judgment is not supposed to be a fearful thing. Judgment is God acting on our behalf. He's become a merciful and faithful high priest to stand for us. The judgment is for us. The good news is the judgment is for us to validate our standing before God. The judgment is for us. It clears our name. The judgment is for us. It gives us the recognition of God's loyalty to us. The judgment is for us. It reveals our total dependence on Jesus. Now it's time for judgment in this world. Now the prince of this world is driven out. But I, when I'm lifted up, Jesus says, will draw all men unto myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Now is the prince of this world driven out. We haven't done it on our own power. We haven't freed ourselves from Satan's hold. In John 1, 4 through 9, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. There's a place where we get light, life, power, victory. John 3, 18 and 19 says it, whoever believes in him is not condemned. What that's telling me is that I've missed sometimes what the judgment is about. I begin to look at whether I'm measuring up. The judgment is about whether Christ measures up and whether or not I'm linked to him, joined to him. The judgment is about whether Christ measures up. And the good news is, he does. Satan has tried him and found nothing in him. Not even a place that he could claim that he had a foothold. So it's not about you and the judgment. It's about whether Christ lived the perfect life and whether you're connected to him.
Sometimes we become so self-absorbed,
we begin to think it's all about us. To focus in on our own victories or trials. And whether we're looking at ourselves and discouraged, or whether we're looking at ourselves and feeling pretty good about ourselves, the issue's just the same. It's self-focus. And Satan's happy either way that he gets us. Satan's happy if he gets us to look at ourselves and feel like there's no hope for us because we're too sinful. Then you know what he does? He tells us you're right. You might as well go on sinning. You might as well sin yourself to your death because you'll at least get some pleasure. And then on the other hand, he might get you to look at yourself and say, you know, I'm doing pretty good when I compare myself to Joe or Fred. I'm handling life pretty well. I think I'm going to make it. Yeah, look at my righteousness. I'm doing pretty good. And pretty soon, we're convicted that our righteousness is the thing that's going to bring us through in the judgment. But it's always been, the question of the judgment has always been, what have you done with Jesus? It's always about our dependence on him. Are you depending on him? The question of the judgment is simple. If you can answer it today and continue to answer it, you have your passport through the judgment. What have you done with Jesus? Have you made him Lord of your life? If you can say yes, there's no fear for you in the judgment. Everything's signed, sealed, and delivered. My behavior is only evidence in the judgment. I'm not being the one that's judged on my behavior. My behavior is only evidence of whether or not I have the relationship with Christ. I don't get to heaven because of my behavior. My behavior is only evidence of whether or not I've made Christ Lord of my life. In essence, it's not the final test. It's only the evidence that reveals the final test. Are you with me? When the Gentiles, who do not have the law, do instinctively the things that the law requires, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them, on that day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. It says this. On that day, everything's going to come down to one question. Did you make Christ Lord? And everything that's brought together is just an evidence of whether or not you've made him Lord in your life. Not whether you claimed it, but whether you really did it. Not whether you had the profession of Christianity or the tag of Christianity or go to church on Sabbath. It's not a matter of how your attendance is. It's a matter of where your heart is. The good news is the judgment is about Jesus. What you've done with Jesus, whether you've made him Lord. It takes the focus off of me and back on him. It causes me to prepare in a different way. I'm no longer preparing by trying to get my works ready so that I have something to defend myself before heaven's courts. I just draw a little closer to the Lord I've come to know, because I know that he's the one that's going to bring me through. The sins of some people are blatant and march them right into the court. The sins of others don't show up until much later. The same with good deeds. Some you see right off, but none are hidden forever. It's going to be opened up, and that's what the judgment's about. The judgment's about laying open the real heart. The judgment's about God seeing what's inside. Not the image that you've projected to everybody else. Not how your spouse thinks you are. That may be good or bad, depending on how you're doing at home. But depending on what's really going on inside, all the motives of the heart are revealed. The real insight is being seen. What have you done, Christ says, with the righteousness I've entrusted you with? That's what the judgment is. He tells a whole story about the judgment in that way. He talks about coming and looking over the people to investigate one thing. Whether they've taken the robe that he's provided them with, his righteousness, whether they've put it on to cover their own sin. in essence, whether they've allowed Christ to live in their life. The first thing, the big picture of the good news of the judgment, is the judgment's for us. The judgment's God's way of saying, I want you to come into my presence. I want to declare these people safe to save. It's God's legal way of opening to the world that he's chosen us and that we have responded. The good news about the judgment, God's character will be vindicated. God's character is also on trial. It's not just a judgment about us. It's a judgment about God and whether he's done what's necessary, what he's really about, who he is. Sometimes we think of a judge and we think that they're beyond court system and the legal system themselves, but it's not always true. A little country judge came to a town. Six men had been accused of thievery, specifically of stealing horses, a punishable offense by death in the little country town in which they lived. The judge came. Everybody was in court, the whole group trial, a lot of people involved, a lot of families. And that little schoolhouse, which they alternately used as the court for the circuit judge who would come. The judge began to call people to his chambers one by one, each of the six men brought in. A few witnesses who had said they'd seen. The judge then came out, everybody stood, and people took their positions for the court trial. He stood up and he said, I'm ready to give you the sentence. Everybody was shocked. The trial hadn't even taken place. He went through a list of names, three of which were going to receive the ultimate punishment of hanging by death, and three of which were going to be granted life. All of a sudden, an uproar began to take place in the court. The judge, with his gavel pounding, it couldn't do too much. And suddenly, there was another trial that took place. The judge was taken out and hung. And they called for a new judge. One that would be fair and just. One that would go through the right process. One that would reveal his hand to the people. Romans 3, verse 25, God presented him, that being Jesus, as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did this to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. He not only is wanting to justify us, but he wants to also let the world see his justice, his character. It's necessary and important. He's to be just and the justifier, the one who shows mercy and the one who's still righteous and holy. And in order to do that, there's going to be a lot of questions that are brought to him. Why has this one been included and why this one excluded? Have you been fair in the way that you've handled this case? Until finally, at the final close, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess in heaven and on earth and under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, and everyone will acknowledge that he's been right and fair. But until that time, there's a vindication that needs to take place. Part of what needs to happen is that God's character needs to be vindicated, not only before the earth, but before the whole universe, so that everybody can see that God has been fair and just in what he's done. It's good news because God passes with flying colors. The veil's removed then, and the things that are here on this earth, the questions that we've had about God and why God allows suffering to take place, are answered. And we have some of those questions. In our heart of hearts, we have some of those questions. We don't understand why it seems that the wicked sometimes prosper. We don't understand when the child is born deformed. We don't understand when the one that we've poured our life out to leaves us. We don't understand when the children we've raised in the right way walk away. We want to have answers. We don't understand why we were the ones, when we did what was right, received instead punishment. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord was all Job could say because that's all he knew. Praise God, there will be a day when all that we now know, when we look in the book of Job, we recognize that behind the scene there's lots of actions that people didn't see. And it wasn't God who took away from Job, was it? Job attributed everything to God and just said, I trust him no matter what. But the things that were sometimes put against God and are sometimes put against God today really aren't from him. I'm going to be praising God when that veil is ripped away and everything is seen as it clearly needs to be. To recognize that there's been an enemy, as Matthew 13, verse 25 says, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. That there really is a struggle between good and evil, and that Satan is behind the sin and the pain and the suffering and the heartache. And when that's opened up and we all see it, then we're going to be able to bow before God and acknowledge him as God and want to serve him. Amen. Praise God for the judgment because my God's character is validated as well. Because everybody can see how things really are. And that he can then help to separate us from our wickedness. That sin itself, that we're separated from sinners and sin. There's always been a day spoken of in Scripture, sometimes in parables, where there is for a time the wheat and the tares, the weeds and the fruit will exist together, but ultimately they will be separated and one destroyed and the other preserved. I'm looking for the day of that separation, aren't you? The sheep and the goats, there are lots of illustrations Scripture uses for the same concept. When there is a dividing among those who are truly God's and those who don't belong to God. I look for the time because it's not just being separated from other sinners, it's being separated from sin and the source, Satan himself. It is a time when I'm in a place that I no longer have to struggle with the temptation of sin, with the lure of sin, with being surrounded by the death of sin. I'm happy for a time in a world that seems to be as much of plight as if it had been, we're living in a time of nuclear post-fallout, of nuclear annihilation, and we're just looking around at a world that's dead. In essence, even though creation bears some resemblance of God's character and beauty, we're living in a desolate world because of the effects of sin. And I'm looking for the time when that'll be restored. When the cries of how long will be answered. In Revelation 6, verse 10, it says, they call out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood. They're praying for, they're calling for, they're asking for God to judge, to make things right. Don't you? Don't you want evil to be taken care of? Don't you want payment to be exacted? Don't you want things to be set right? For me, it's sometimes unbalanced in my life. I have this sense of justice, that things should be just, that things should go right. I'll travel across town, spend $6 worth of gas going back and forth and all around, tracing down $1.25 that somebody owes me because it was unfair. I'll go back and return my burrito for the sake of take my gas, even after going all the way home, take my gas to go back to return the burrito because they didn't do it right. It's a sense of justice. And sometimes all it does is cause extra pain. It's sometimes a little obsession, but in the ultimate sense, don't we want things right? Don't we want them the way that they've been promised? It's good news. Number one, because the judgment's for us. It's good news because God's character is vindicated. It's good news because we are ultimately separated from sin at the judgment. It's good news because God's dominion is restored. When you find in Daniel them describing this judgment scene, here's what they say. And the Son of Man, one like the Son of Man, comes before the Ancient of Days and receives his kingdom. Do you understand what's going on? First Chronicles says it like this: let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound, let all that's in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for the joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. There'll be a time when righteousness will reign again. That's what we long for. A time when all the sorrows are taken away. Sorrow and death and pain and suffering. The judgment is about getting rid of sorrow, pain, and death and suffering. That's good news. God being restored to the kingship of the universe. God being back present with his people. Satan, sin, and suffering eradicated. That's good news. That we no longer have to cry at night for our suffering of our children. That we no longer have to look at the pain of the world that's around us. That we no longer have to hear the call of Satan to pull away from God. All that's taken away. And the one who started it and formed it, Satan himself, will be destroyed. And we won't be tempted and drawn away anymore. I say, praise God for the judgment. Eric Einstein, 15-year-old suspect, was charged as an adult with first-degree intention to homicide for something that just happened Friday. Took a gun, shot a principal. And I look at the people who are devastated by somebody else's actions. And you look at what's going on in our society and realize that all around us there's pain and suffering and heartache, and people are suffering because of it. Even the same week, within 1 week, with the children, it's moving to the children in a powerful way. Children are killing children. And adults are taking advantage of children. Just read the newspaper this week. You see, it's true. Quite honestly, there are some things I'd rather not talk about. I'd rather not talk about the devastating horror of sin that's going on in our world today. And sometimes that's the thing we hide. Maybe it needs to be brought to the forefront so we recognize how much we need judgment and won't be afraid to talk about it. Because when we recognize the devastation and the pain of sin, then the judgment makes all the more sense and is all the much more good news for us. When we realize the suffering and hurt that we are going through and the others around us, we call for, we crave for the time when God will reign and sin will be finally taken care of. And that there'll be nothing to separate us from God. The judgment's about this. It always has been. God restoring his people to himself by dealing with sin, bringing them back into his presence. And the glory of his presence is a consuming fire. It'll consume all the evil that we've confessed and laid before him so that we can be in his presence. And it will consume all evil, and unfortunately even those who've clung to evil, in order that righteousness can reign forever and that God can sit on his throne and that he can be with us and we can be with him. It's good news because the judgment restores me to the presence of God forever. It's good news because the judgment is my opening, my invitation, my assurance that I can stay there in God's presence and be secure in him. I think the judgment's good news. It's about unfailing love, God's unfailing love. It's about a power that's brought us into his presence, a power that's self-sacrificing. A power of love that comes to the place that God's willing to pour out all of heaven in order to join us back to himself. The judgment tells me of a God who's pursued me to the depths of hell itself and taken upon himself. Thank you for the judgment. For the good news, Lord, that you're going to declare us righteous and right to save. You're going to clear our name from the accuser of the brethren. That you're going to open to us, Lord, the hope of salvation with you forever. that you help us to understand that you've always been loyal to us and poured out all of heaven so we could be together with you. God, we ask that our lives would show evidences that you're in the center. And Lord, that whatever's in our lives that's keeping you from living there today, that you'd strip that away. That your love would be seen through us. Anything that we're holding on to that's keeping us from being who you've intended us to be, that you'd take now. Lord, I want to thank you that you are God. And some of the questions we even have in our minds and our hearts, everything's going to be unveiled and you're going to show us everything. We'll see Satan and his actions and you, Lord, in your glory and recognize that the choice we've made has been right. And the rest of the universe, Lord, will see you and every knee will bow before you. And that God will be separated from sin and sinners and Satan so that we can be in your presence forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that kind of love. We declare the joy of your judgment and pronounce it as good news to the world of a God who wants us in this presence. These things we ask and thank you for in the precious name of Christ. Amen.